Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third episode of There's More. Before we begin getting into this actual teaching, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for all of the people listening in, all of the people messaging me, all of the people who are adding me or putting me on their stories or posting about this podcast. Every time you do that, I just want to let you know it is such a gift and I'm so grateful for all of you. And for you taking the time to do that, I want to get into a habit of reposting as many of those stories I see on Instagram as possible. So before we begin, it is just so cool for us to be able to go on these journeys together. It's one of my favorite things to go on this journey myself of discovery, to put this teaching together, to come. And it's like offering it on a table and then to see people journey through that and receive everything I've received that I'm hoping for them to experience and receive and know and taste and touch for themselves. So grateful to begin this third episode and for all of the people who have been listening in. So this week, since this is Advent, I wanted to take a moment leading up to this Christmas story to tell a part of the story about Mary. For those of you who don't know or aren't familiar, the first season on the Christian calendar is Advent. And for those of you who don't know, there is a such thing as a Christian calendar. And it's not sunset pictures with Bible verses on them, although that's probably the most common thing you would see in Walmart. But the Christian calendar is a different way that followers of Jesus have told the story of time since the birth of the church. So there's seasons of Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter, and it's just sort of grounding us in a different experience of time. It's regrounding us in a narrative that has the God who has created the world, who is redeeming the world, and who will restore the world at the center of it. So the Christian calendar is a really cool way historically that followers of Jesus have been grounded in this unique story of redemption that you see in the scriptures. So today what I wanted to focus on was one part from the Gospel of Luke, just one part about the story of Mary. And it's a part that often gets overlooked. I don't think I've ever heard anybody else teach about it. But to me, it's something that can easily get overlooked, but something that has so much potency. It has so much life for us to receive and consider. And it has so much there that can actually change our experience of Advent leading up to Christmas. So we begin in Luke 1:26. So this is leading up to the birth of Jesus. It's the moment Mary starts to find out what's really happening. This whole Christmas mystery is unfolding. So I'm going to read a little bit of this part of the story, and I'm going to zero in on this one very specific part. So in verse 26, the gospel writer says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee." So this is Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. 27, "to a virgin," so this angel comes to this virgin, verse 27, "comes to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said," and this is what we're going to be focusing on, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Last verse in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So this is the verse I really want to focus on in verse 28. The angel says to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Now, this Greek word that gets translated into "you who are highly favored," in different translations of the New Testament, people turn that Greek into English and they use different phrases to do that. So this one says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." There's another version where they translate it and it says, "Greetings, you who are full of grace." And I really like that one. But my favorite one is there's one translation that translates, instead of "you who are highly favored," they translate it into "Hail, gifted lady." And there's just something very regal and very proper about referring to another human being as "Hail, gifted lady." So there's these words that are spoken to Mary, and then right after, the scriptures say that Mary was troubled by these words. She has something good spoken to her, and then all of a sudden, she's troubled. So the discovery that Mary was going to give birth to the king began with this declaration that she was full of grace and highly favored, which brings up this really interesting question. Why would Mary be troubled at these words? She was given these powerful words about how she was favored, about how she was full of grace, about how she was gifted. And then right after she receives these words, what happens is all of a sudden Mary is troubled. Now let's think about this for a second. Here's a question. Have you ever gotten uncomfortable when somebody else complimented you? Let's think about that for a second. Do you ever have a hard time receiving good words being spoken to you? Someone offers something kind and affirming word, they speak some sort of life over you, and it just kind of makes you uncomfortable and you don't know how to respond. So imagine somebody, "You are so beautiful." And inside you're, "Well, you don't actually mean that. I mean, if you really knew, like, no, you're mistaken. I'm actually quite ugly. Thank you very much. Oh, you're doing a great job. And we're so thankful to have you as a part of this." Internal dialogue. You probably have to say that to everybody who works with you or works for you. I mean, I'm sure you appreciate the work I do, but you're not really thankful I'm a part of this. I mean, I'm doing a great job because I'm helping you, but I really don't matter to you in the way you're saying this, right? We always have these internal narratives and dialogues that tries to diminish or somehow downplay these good words that are spoken to us. You know, someone, "I just want you to know you are always welcome here." And inside we're like, "Yeah, that's what you say now, but when you get to know me, you're probably going to want to get rid of me. So before you have a chance to get rid of me, I'm probably going to self-sabotage this and leave on my own, because even though I'm lonely, I will still be the one in control." So that's how that's going to work. But this first part just reminds me of this simple thing I see so often. As human beings, we have a hard time receiving good words from others, don't we? We can have a hard time just receiving goodness affirmed from others. I mean, Mary was 13 years old. Mary was a female at a time in history and at a place in a culture where she was seen as being at the lowest part of society. She was a peasant. She was the last person you would expect that would be seen and remembered and viewed through a lens of goodness and grace by God. So in this defining scene, we have angels and announcements of a king. We have favor and grace and plans for redemption of the whole world. And all of the spectacular stuff we love to talk about and celebrate at Christmas. And it is about all of those things. All of those things are integral parts of this story. But what I want us to focus on is, but it's also about this young, unassuming, unlikely girl saying yes to God, saying yes to who God says she is. Because after hearing all of that, here's what I wonder, and this is what I want you to think about as well. If you were in her place, which would be harder? Trusting that God desires to do something that is going to change the world through you, or just trusting that you are highly favored? Which one would be harder for you? Trusting that God is going to use you, or trusting that God believes that you are full of grace? Is it harder to believe you can accomplish things in this world, or is it harder for you to believe that you are worthy enough to be remembered and celebrated just for who you are. Maybe as we remember the Christmas story and celebrate the Christmas story this year, maybe the really outrageous act of faith on Mary's part was her actually trusting that she was seen by God with grace. Now let's talk about buffets for a second. I have been to some great buffets in my life. But after all of these years, I'm 34, going to a ton of buffets, a lot of cheap ones, a lot of really expensive ones. I'm coming to the conclusion that I think I might actually enjoy the idea of the buffet more than the buffet itself. I feel like eating at a buffet is too much pressure. It's like so much pressure. I don't even know if I'm enjoying or if I'm just my adrenaline spiked because I'm always strategizing about what to eat. It feels like I'm always figuring out how I should best fill up the limited amount of space in my stomach. It's like while I'm eating in my head, I'm thinking, I mean, the pizza is good, but if there's crab, I shouldn't waste this space in my stomach on pizza. I should probably fill it with something more expensive. I mean, those ribs are good, but they do have oysters. And if you think about how expensive oysters are most of the time, I should probably eat about 30 oysters at this meal. And by the time the meal's over, it's like I'm not sure if I'm full or if I'm just exhausted mentally from trying to rack my brain over what's the best way to fill my stomach. So it's always had this weird relationship with buffets. But a couple of years ago, Christine and I stayed one night in the Four Seasons here on Oahu. I think it was 2 years ago, right before she gave birth to our first child. So we stay there for her birthday. Amazing hotel on the west side here. Beautiful. I don't think I've ever stayed there for more than one night. Just this awesome place. And when we wake up in the morning and we go to breakfast, we walk into the restaurant, and of course, you can't sit down without having to see the buffet. And if you had a camera back then that was zoomed in on my face when I saw the buffet, I feel like it would be this really funny and yet simultaneously sad picture of a little kid like window shopping for puppies. It's like I'm so excited but scared to ask, and I turned to Christine. I'm like, babe, like, can we get it? And all of a sudden, she turns to me, no, babe, you know we can't afford it today. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Okay, mom, we'll just figure out something else. But when we sit down, I mean, we're at one of the best breakfast buffets I've ever seen. And I kid you not, we were sitting there together trying to figure out the cheapest way we could fill ourselves up. I'm pretty sure, as a little side note, it was probably one of the saddest scenes in the history of the Four Seasons Hotel. Like, we're just sitting there trying to figure it out, like, what's the cheapest way we can fill ourselves up? It's like I tell my wife, I mean, you can get the buffet. I'll just go eat a protein bar in the bathroom. Like, I'll be fine. You know what, babe? You just get that. I had like 12 almonds before I fell asleep last night, so I'm actually still kind of filled. And while we're having this conversation, this guy comes over to our table. This guy who we met the night before. This guy at the pool who we had only talked to once up to this point. While we're figuring out the cheapest way to fill up our bellies, this guy comes over to our table with a wad of cash, puts it on the table and says, I want you guys to just get whatever you want because breakfast is on me. And I just instinctively looked up at him and I was like, Dad? No, I didn't actually say that part. But I love that story because we were trying to figure out the cheapest way we could fill our stomachs. And then all of the sudden, we were offered the whole buffet for free. And I think our experience that morning says something about how so much of us experience our life in this world as a whole. We keep choosing a la carte when we are living life at a buffet. We try to take up as little space as possible when God says that we are home here with Him. We settle for just getting by when we have been created to thrive and to actually be alive. We go through the motions when we're supposed to be moving forward with meaning and intentionality. Why do we keep living like we're supposed to earn the right to even be here in this world when God says we are full of grace and this is our home? See, I believe this was Mary's dilemma as well. Could she trust that she was highly favored? Could she trust that she was full of grace? Could she trust before anything God would accomplish through her that she was seen and remembered and chosen and seen by grace from God? See, before Mary could trust that God could use her in a miraculous way, Mary first had to trust that God favored her in a miraculous way. And that's the part of this story that I think we skip over that is so important. And the last part before I tell this other story, I want to show you something that the first time I saw it was actually pretty mind-blowing and something that I was just so blown away when I first saw it. This phrase, highly favored, that this angel uses to describe Mary in Luke 1:28, it's only used one other place in the New Testament in Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6, this letter to this early church in Ephesus, Paul writes, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." This phrase, "which he has freely given us," is the same Greek phrase that gets translated, "she who is highly favored," in the story of Luke that's talking about Mary. So this historic, unique phrase that was used to describe Mary, the one who would carry Jesus, the one who would give birth to the one who would usher in this new era of justice and this new humanity. The very phrase that was used to describe Mary is used only one other place in the scriptures. And when it is used there, it refers to you. It refers to us. It refers to all of humanity. Whatever God believed was true about Mary in that moment, God also believes is true for you. The same way God looked at Mary is the way God looks at you. The same favor God had for Mary in that scene is the same favor that God has for you in this scene of your life. The same value God identified in Mary is the same value that God identifies in you. In order for human history to be changed, one young woman had to say yes to how favored she was. And in order for your future to be changed, you have to say yes to how favored you are as well. I'm going to finish with this story. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, Christine and I were at this event in Washington, D.C., and it was like speakers and music, and it was sort of shaping young leaders for the future of the church, people who are working towards, you know, the faith of the future, etc. Great people, so many people I love and respect there. Christine was actually 7 months pregnant and hosting it because she's an animal. And I remember one of the moments when Christine wasn't on stage and we were off to the side. This woman, Deb Hirsch, who we both have so much love and respect for, came up to us and started talking to us because we had met her before. So she starts talking to us, saying how excited she is for us having a baby. She starts sharing all of these kind words to us, just affirming us and encouraging us and wanting to pray for Christine just so the pregnancy would go smooth. And while she was sitting there saying all of these affirming words about who we were. While she was saying all of these kind words, while she was speaking this, you know, moment of life over us, I could feel this like part of my chest contracting and closing up. It was weird. I could like feel it as it was happening. And as she was saying all these affirming words, there was this little, you know, voice, this inner dialogue within me that just kept saying, you know, she has to say this. I mean, she doesn't really mean this. I mean, how often does she travel? She probably says the same thing to every other young couple who she barely knows. And as she's going on, it's like, I'm there, but a part of me starts to check out. And I'm like, whatever, just, yeah, you can pray for us. Like, I appreciate it. Just go ahead. Cool. Like, do your thing. It was like, I knew she believed in us and thought we were capable, but I had a hard time initially accepting these words of grace about who we were. I knew that she saw us as people who could build something that mattered, but something in me had a hard time receiving just this goodness flowing out of her that was directed to us because of who we are. Not because of what we could do, but simply because of who we were. And as I could feel my chest contracting, there was this other voice within me that just said, Kevin, why are you closing yourself off to this right now? Maybe she does mean that. Maybe it's okay to just let her affirm both of you. Maybe it's okay to just let her encourage both of you. Maybe she actually means these good things that she's saying to you. And when I had that other voice, I could feel my chest like loosen and uncoil. And then when she began to pray for us, I just started like, my eyes were filling up with tears and I could just feel this emotion of, man, this is what happens when you receive that goodness from another person and you don't shut it off and you don't diminish it and you don't try to deny it and you just let it flow into you. It's like she was trying to say to us, you too, who are full of grace, I want to speak life into you. And we had to say yes to who she was saying we were in the same way Mary had to first say yes to the person who God saw her as. So for you, during the rest of this Advent season leading up to Christmas, a few thoughts I want to end with. Let Mary remind you that you too are highly favored. Let Mary remind you too that you are full of grace. Let Mary remind you that you have been chosen by God. Let Mary remind you that the first miracle is trusting in who God says you are. So remember that Christmas is about God choosing humanity. Christmas means that we live in a world of abundance. Christmas means the best stories always start in the most unlikely places. And Christmas means that you are full of grace, that you are highly favored, and that you do not have to be afraid.